morning. How's everyone doing? We have a cool surprise for everyone today. I'm going to grab this stand here in preparation. And that is that this week, one, we're talking about prayer. Prayer is a big thing, and it's crucially important to our well-being as followers of Christ. Can I get an amen to that while I figure out this stand? Beautiful. If you're joining us for the first time, we just wrapped up a series on Deuteronomy, and that was awesome and sweet. I really enjoyed it. I hope it was encouraging to you. And that, over the course of the last three summers, is of the completion for this community of walking through the Torah together. Yay! Really cool. The first five books of the Bible in three summers is awesome. And what I find really amazing about this and all of our time studying is the incredible importance for each of us to meditate on the Word of the Lord. Scripture says to meditate on it day and night. And meditating on the Word empowers us in all kinds of facets of life, whether it's our engagements with each other, because when I'm talking with you and you share something, then if I'm meditating on the Word, it is just, it's there. The Spirit can bring it to my attention so that I can breathe the truth of Scripture into every life. It's so crucial. But one of the crucial elements of meditating on the Word is it impacts and rounds out and builds up our lives of intercession. So as we pray for each other, as we encourage each other, as we lift up our concerns, our errors to the Lord, the Word is rich in our mind to convict us and to commend us. In Jesus' name. Isn't that amazing? So this is very exciting, and I'm super excited that I'm joined by my sister Beverly up here today. This is a first for us. We've done services together many times, but this is I've referred to this a few times as I've worked with Glenn and Beverly and Diane as we've been orchestrating the service. I've referred to it as a dance. And that is because we bring the gifts that God has given us to the table and we play together for the glory of Christ. And it's a beautiful opportunity, especially as we're looking at learning and teaching. Beverly and I are teaching together because if you've been here a minute, you know our styles are a bit different. I'm this big guy with a big voice and a lot of big expression. And she is so thoughtful in every word, quiet, reflective, considerate. And what's beautiful is when you bring these things together, that is the body of Christ. When we come together, when we have that type of unity. And then we're going to explore that today with prayer. But before we dive in head first, we want to provide an opportunity for the kids to share. So I'm going to turn this mic on, make it sure it's the right height for my dear friend.
And I'll run it back and forth to the kids. Just joking.
I'm going to grab this mic here, and I'll run this one. Yeah, so if you are under 18, which there's only a handful in the room, so we're going to start with that. If you're under 18, we'd love to hear your thoughts on these questions. Beverly, when you're ready.
Sure. Okay, question for kids. What do you wish that God would do in the world? What do you wish that God would do in the world?
Get a hand, anybody?
Is there something you wish was different in the world or better? or would stop happening? Anybody?
Oh, ah, we got one.
We have one. Thanks, Alina.
Alina. Oh, all right. Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Woo-hoo. Yes.
Okay, here's another one. What do you wish that God would do in your neighborhood? Is there something you wish would happen in your neighborhood? I'd like to have more kids move into my neighborhood. I actually do pray for that. How about you?
Let's open it up to the big kids. Any big kids with a thought? Oh, no, we got a little kid right here. Wonderful, Tilly.
I wish that we could have more relationships.
More relationships.
Yeah, thanks, awesome. Matilda. Yes. Wish we could be friends with our neighbors. That would be good. Yeah. Okay, one more question. Is there something that you feel comfortable sharing that you wish God would do for you? That you are asking, what is something you are asking God for?
Anyone? Okay, big kids. Any big kids?
Something you're asking God for.
I am, here we go. I was going to say, I'm asking God for a volunteer.
Healing for your hip, please.
Absolutely.
We agree with you, Carol. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Wonderful. Well, we had Carol say she would like healing for her hip. What should we do? Let's pray. Lord God, I lift my sister Carol before you today, and she has got pain in her hip. And God, you are Creator God, Yahweh God, holder and controller and sovereign over all things. And so, God, we beseech you to heal Carol's hip. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Cool. So what I'm going to talk about is unity. As I was reflecting about prayer and thinking about the implications of prayer, one of the things that came to mind for me was unity, or for us, I should say, is unity. As we're approaching this week, we're really excited about the potential. Glenn alluded to it last week, that we see, or we have a, I think he called it a holy discontent with the way that we function communally in prayer, which means it's an area for us to grow. And some people might be like, discontent, you know, but what I'll say to you is there's a lot of wonderful areas for us to grow. Take yourself a little bit more lightly because there's plenty of room. And this is an area. This is an important and crucial area because it builds all the other things. I'm going to give us some examples of that. But as I was studying and thinking about this concept of unity, what came to mind for me was I came across this statement from a 19th century Scottish minister. Very interesting statement. I'm going to put a disclaimer on this. I don't know that I theologically fully agree with this statement, but it made me think. And so maybe it'll make you think too. What Robert Murray McCrae said, or McCraney, was that what a person is on their knees before God, that they are, and nothing more. That's a pretty remarkable statement. I didn't know what to make of it, really, and still I'm still like spinning it in my head. What a person, yeah? I'm repeating it right now. What a person is on their knees before God, that they are, and nothing more. And I'm spinning and thinking about this and pondering it. And one of the first things that jumped into my mind was a question. What makes us who we are? What makes us who we are? And what is prayer's role in that? Okay? What makes us who we are, and what is prayer's role in that? And I want to testify to the fact that I am more alive today than I was yesterday. Okay? Praise the Lord. This is a work of God. Because as I dive into His Word, as I bring glory to Christ in my life, as I relate with each and every one of you for the building up of each other, I am made more alive. Isn't that cool? My body is withering away and dying. It's the truth. I hit the 40s and I'd wake up some mornings and things just don't work. And that made no sense to me at the time, because in the 30s you could do anything and you get up and you're just fine. But in my 40s, sometimes I just apparently sleep wrong. And some part of my body just says, not anymore, not today. I'm like, all right, well, you know, maybe this leg was over this leg. And trust me, my sleeping situation is very regimented, because I really care about my sleep. I use 4 or 5 pillows, and they all go in very specific places to keep certain parts of my body elevated above others. If you're under 40, you can look forward to this one day. But I am more alive today than I was yesterday. So as I thought about this, I thought, what does prayer have to do with this? What does prayer have to do with this? Well, I can tell you that part of that life, part of that renewal, part of that restoring and building up and turning me into the person I am today, who loves Jesus so much and loves each of you so much, that is because Jesus, what He did for me on the cross ultimately, but because I have committed myself to communion with God. And it's made all the difference. Prayer conveys the nature of your relationship with God. Think about it. Think about it. If you want to know something about somebody, see how they communicate with those nearest and dearest to them. Right? Think about yourself. Kids, you're not in school right now, so you're not communicating probably as much with your peers. But when you're in school, how do you communicate with those nearest and dearest to you? And what's that say about you? Well, how we communicate with God says something about our relationship with God. And this has implications. But in prayer, we share our affections, our reverence, our needs and desires, our errors and hurts, and our weaknesses. This is clearly displayed by Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. If I could have that up on the screen. Let's pray through this together. Our Father, ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's beautiful. But it speaks to each of those things: affection, reverence, needs and desires, errors and hurts, and our own weakness. And when we come together, when we pray together, when we seek God and lift each other up together, we are able to know and be known in a beautiful way. It's really true. Some time ago, I don't remember when exactly, but my brother, dear brother, Bob Ludlum, thought that we needed to gather all those who are serving on Sunday, gather and go through the service and pray together in the morning before we start rehearsals or anything. It was brilliant. It's brilliant. Because what we've seen as an outpouring of that dedication to lifting the service and each other up in prayer is a depth of love that's new and fresh and big. There's a trust where we come together and can share our hurts, what's going on, the hurt around us, and we can lift it up to the one who can do something about it. As I was reflecting on this change that happens when we pray, I thought of Beverly. Beverly and I have been serving together for 5 or 6 years. I think it's 6 years technically, although we are more intimately serving together for probably 4 or 5. Beverly has known me my whole life. She has. She's seen me through my whole life. But engaging in the capacity that we engage with as co-workers in ministry was new. It was different. It brought a new element to the relationship. Think about this. When you go to a job interview, okay, right? If you go to a job interview, you have certain hopes, right? Can I get a yep? Yeah. You've got hopes. You've got expectations. You're bringing your best self, right? You're throwing the tie on or a dress, depending on who you are, right? You're bringing your best self. And you're trying. There's a bit of fear, I think, for the majority of us when we go into that type of engagement, right? Because it's kind of like, what's going to happen? My future might be kind of like hinging on this a little bit. That's the same way it is in many relationships. You just don't know. As you engage with a person, even people that maybe you've been sitting in these seats together for years and years and years and years and years and years. I've been alive 43 years. Beverly and I have shared seats in a room like this for many of those years. But she didn't know me, and I didn't know her. Our relationship looked a lot like that interview scene. And when I was coming into a position of co-worker, co-minister with her in Christ, there's a lot of, what's this going to do? What's going to happen? How's this guy going to shake things up? Right? Could be very intimidating. But commitment to God, commitment to our ministry and his calling for us here in this community, we showed up. We showed up. And you want to know what we did? We prayed for each other. Our team meets Mondays in the afternoons. About half of that meeting is lifting up the community here, any prayer requests we know, any needs. Connecting with each other on what is going on in the last week and in the upcoming week, and prayer for all of the above. And in and through that, I have gotten to see Beverly's heart of affection, reverence. I've seen her needs and desires. I've walked with her through errors and hurts. And we've witnessed each other's weaknesses. But God has drawn us together. And the only thing I can think of when I think of this is being of one spirit. Being of one spirit. Being of one heart and soul. Heart and mind, as we see in Acts 4:32. If you recall, a few weeks ago when I was speaking, I believe I was speaking about generosity, I pointed to Acts 4, and I talked about this incredible transformation, this incredible change to a community where they were so one in spirit that it says God's grace was so powerful at work in them that there was no needy person among them. Praise God. It's possible. We have evidence it's possible. What I didn't get into is what precedes this moment. Peter and John are imprisoned for healing somebody. It's only for a day. They couldn't hold them because they couldn't argue with them and win. This is how it worked out. They were so empowered by the Spirit that the Sadducees and the Pharisees are saying, these guys aren't educated, but yet we can't win a debate with them. And the crowd thinks they're awesome because this 40-something-year-old guy is walking. We got to let them go, except for we need to tell them they can't talk about Jesus anymore. They say, no way. And they say, okay, I guess, go ahead. That's not how scripture words it. That's the Aaron version. But, okay, so this is what plays out. When they come out, guess what happens? It says this in verse 24 of Acts 4. The community raised their voices together in prayer to God. Together. And it details what they pray. But at the end of this prayer, they're under incredible persecution. Things are not going well. But what do they petition the God of the heavens and the earth for? They say, Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. It's amazing. And you know what it says right after that? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I'm not scary, I promise. I'm sorry. To summarize, they came together, they made a bold request, and they were profoundly changed.
Here's the quiet one. I'll be quiet now. I love this statement. Prayer is not so as much about getting answers as it is about our transformation. It's the way the disciples prayed. They were praying to be transformed. And God did that. What would your life look like if you knew that you had all the resources of heaven at your disposal? This isn't a question I thought of on my own. It comes from Julian Adams, who's a pastor in the Boston area. But I love that question, and I have been doing a lot of thinking about it. So I'm asking you, what would it look like if you had all the resources of heaven at your disposal? Would you do something different with your life? A new job, a different location, a different major? Would you finally talk to that person that you keep seeing but are afraid to approach? Maybe a neighbor. Would you try a new skill, a new sport, or artistic endeavor? Would you be more generous with your time, your money, your friendship? Would you have a different kind of relationship with God than you currently have? Would you have a different kind of relationship with church than you currently do? There have been many times in my life when I have lived as if everything depended on me. As if I had to figure it all out, and then God would either approve or disapprove. I have used my own small resources to try to live a bigger life for God. But that way of living is exhausting. It's only when I stop relying on my resources and remember to ask God for his that I see big things happen. Things I could never account for except for the power of the Holy Spirit. Like what happened last week. I was in Animal Brain. I was waiting to see a doctor. I was very nervous. And I only could pray, please help me, God. Please help me relax. Please help my animal brain. Almost immediately, a friend texted me. She had no idea where I was or what I was going through or how I was feeling, what I was praying, but she texted this. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Psalm 107, verses 28 and 29. And now you might be thinking, well, that's a small thing. But it wasn't small to me. Not in that moment. And not only was it not small, but it reminded me of who God is. And it strengthened me. It calmed and encouraged me. Sarah Yardley, lead pastor of Emmaus Church in England and one of the leaders of the 24/7 prayer movement. She's a regular on Lectio 365 if you engage with that app. Recently shared the story of a time when she was on a ferry en route to a big worship gathering. As someone with the gift of evangelism, she had prayed that God would connect her with someone on the ferry who might be interested in hearing about Jesus or receiving prayer. She's bold, that Sarah Yardley. She struck up a conversation with two people, an older woman and her adult daughter. They were also on their way to the worship gathering, it turned out. They were already believers, but they shared with Sarah that the mom had been recently diagnosed with cancer, and they were struggling under the weight of that news. Sarah prayed with them and asked that God would heal the woman of the cancer and give her and her family peace. She definitely felt that the connection she had made with those two women was a divine appointment, as she was able to bring them comfort and encouragement. Some months later, Sarah received an email from the daughter saying that after that worship gathering, her mom had gone back to her oncologist for more tests and another scan. And the cancer was gone. If you knew you had all the resources of heaven at your disposal, would you send a friend a word of encouragement, even though you don't know where they are or what they're going through, but just because they came into your mind at that moment? Might you dare to believe that God had just given you a gift to share with your friend? If you knew that you had all the resources of God at your disposal, might you be brave enough to pray for a stranger when you experience a prompting from the Holy Spirit? Throughout my life, I have actually had several experiences like the one Sarah Yardley shared. So I can personally testify that these things happen. But again, it's not about the
answer to prayer that you want. It's about the transformation that happens as you pray. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We have all the resources of heaven at our disposal. Thank you, Lord.